with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, good morning. You are listening to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. As you probably guessed by now, coffee or no coffee, I am not Randy Corcoran. No, I'm Deborah Flora. I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio program Bring It Up, heard on our sister station here, 94.7 FM The Word. Randy will be in 1 hour for a special edition of the Randy Corcoran Show from 9 to noon. So, but in the interim, I'm just really, really so grateful to be with you here today. Thanks for joining the conversation. I know you're busy out there. Your day has begun. You're probably Christmas shopping or who knows what. But thank you so much for being with us today on 710 KNUS. Well, we've had a great show so far. If you missed any part of it, go to 710knus.com. You'll get to hear it. Well, there's a lot in the news, and so much of it, as we know, circles right here around Colorado. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg just announced his candidacy for president, as we know, and he made a major part of his platform a gun control push. Well, as we may know, that announcement happened right here in Aurora, Colorado. He chose this location because of the Aurora Theater shooting that happened in 2012, where 12 deaths occurred and over 70 injuries. He was introduced by Colorado State Representative Tom Sullivan, whose son Alex was killed in the Aurora movie theater. And we want to talk about that because this is everywhere, gun violence. And, you know, it is going to be a huge part of both our state legislature session that's going to be coming up in January. It's going to be a part of the presidential race. It's going to be a part of everything. But what happens sometimes is a lot of emotion is roused up without a lot of conversation about real solutions. And that's what we want to do. We want to have real solutions. So you know, when we talk about this, Bloomberg, by the way, just to put this into context, because we're going to hear a clip in a moment, he, as we know, poured millions of his own money around the country, and especially right here into Colorado. He worked to pass such things as the red flag law that will take effect in January. He also helped launch groups like Moms Demand Action. Now, you may not remember, but when the STEM shooting vigil happened, when many of the students and parents came together, they thought it was going to be for a time of healing, a time of coming together. And while I believe the motives of many people are very good, I really do think the majority of us want the same thing. I think I was never more angry recently, especially as a mom, than when that vigil got turned into a political accusation session, actually, as one of the representatives of Moms Demand Action scolded the grieving parents and students, saying, if you do not support our agenda, you are responsible. That was not the right moment, not the right message, and a complete politicization of this issue. I recently had the opportunity to host a school safety panel. We had some great folks on there. It was hosted by Angel Shield, an interesting and great organization. Kendra Castillo's dad, the one student who was killed in this STEM school shooting, he was there, and he got up and spoke and talked about how we need to have a real conversation, not a knee-jerk reaction, about what will keep our kids safe. So before we get to that much-needed, much-deserved conversation with our guest, I want to play this clip. This is of Michael Bloomberg announcing why he is running for president right here in Aurora, Colorado. Let's go ahead and play clip four.
That's why I'm running, and that's the president I will be. We just have to do something about this, folks. We just cannot keep killing each other and killing our children and killing our grandchildren and killing our parents and loved ones and spouses. It's time to say enough is enough. We're just not going to put up with it anymore.
You know, when I saw this clip, I really do believe that Michael Bloomberg, I mean, I can't know anyone's motive. I am not omniscient. And if anyone thinks that they know someone else's motives, you should kind of question them on that. But my perception was that he is actually very earnest about this. I think he really does want to stop this violence, this tragedy that's going on. But here's the exception I take with what he said. He said he's running for president because he wants to stop this gun violence. Then he goes on and says, We have to stop killing one another. We have to stop killing our students, our family members. This is where I think the argument goes off the rails. It is not a general we that are going around killing one another. It is a very few people, a small percentage, that would find a way to do harm no matter what they were carrying or what they were doing. And they tend to go to gun-free zones. So my point is not that we all need to stop killing one another. We need to find how to stop the few that are homicidal and want to do damage. Well, as a mom, this is very close to my heart. I have children in the Douglas County School District that were in lockdown when the STEM school shooting happened. Thank goodness they're okay. But I remember getting that phone call from our daughter when she said, "Mom, we're on lockdown. I don't feel safe." And I wanted to say to her, "Oh, no, honey, you're fine." And before I could say you're safe, I had to ask myself, is she really? Have we really had the conversation that will lead to the real solutions? Well, that's what we're going to do today. And I'm so glad to have with us this morning Laura Carno. She is someone who's dedicated so much of her time and energy to real solutions. She's the executive director of Faster Colorado. It's an organization that trains armed school staffers. She's also a senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. And, you know, Laura is also a good friend and someone who does so much for Colorado. Welcome, Laura. I'm so glad you're on the show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me, Deborah.
Absolutely. Well, we were on that panel together. You were one of the experts speaking, and I got to MC it. I appreciate the points that you brought up. So before we go any further, why don't you tell us what your organization, Faster Colorado, is all about?
Sure. And as you mentioned, it's an organization that provides really world-class training to those very many armed school staffers in Colorado. And the difference between ours and, gosh, these school staffers could go anywhere in the country for their training. What I think makes us world class is we're led by active duty law enforcement trainers. These are people who are today instructing our law enforcement, our SWAT teams, and how to stop active killers. So that makes us very different. The other thing is that we know that a lot of schools really need this world-class training, not just adequate training, but world-class training. And so we actually raise private money so that schools can go through at no cost or low cost if their district can't afford this training. And our goal is, if, God forbid, the worst happens on any of these campuses, these folks would have the training to save lives. And that's really the goal. We all want our kids and grandkids coming home alive to us every day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of people, when we all want school safety. We all want to protect our kids. What you deal with in Faster is one of the ones a lot of people stop and go, wait a second, I don't want teachers armed. I remember my ninth grade math teacher who probably should not have had a weapon. What do you say to that objection to this? Because, and the other thing you hear, by the way, is, oh, well, teachers don't want to carry guns. We shouldn't force them to carry guns. What are the facts on who's selected and who is required in your idea to carry weapons?
Sure. And I know 200 people personally that work in schools that do want to carry firearms.
Yes.
So, and those are folks who've been through our Faster Colorado training program. Yeah, so how it usually works, Deborah, is that the school board, and this is according to the law that's been in place for 16 years in Colorado, without incident, by the way, the school board authorizes the policy in that school district, and then they work with the administration to seek out volunteers in those schools. So let's be very clear, nobody has ever suggested that a school staff member be required to carry a firearm. That's just patently ridiculous. It would be like saying that concealed carry is legal in Colorado, so everybody must carry a concealed firearm. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yet, we do hear that as the number one kind of myth about armed staff. So once those volunteers are selected, they go through a vetting process in their school district to get approved. They have a contract with the school district to be a part of the armed security team, and then they have to go seek out training, and it's a specified length of training, and that's the training that we offer through Faster. And again, they can go anywhere. We've got schools that are sort of along the edges of Colorado that up until this point have gone maybe across state lines to get training. Now that we have Faster and we just completed our third training year here in Colorado, they have an in-state option as well to come to. And just one quick clarification too, Deborah, is we often hear the term armed teachers. The fact is, and this is both Colorado numbers and our sister organization, Faster Saves Lives in Ohio, who has been at this for a long time, had 2,600 people go through their program, but it's not all teachers. It's really only 40%, and again, Colorado, Ohio numbers, only 40% are teachers who are tied to a classroom. The rest are, let's say, the principal, the superintendent, janitor, school nurse, lunch lady, bus driver, all different positions all over the school.
Mm. Well, that makes a lot of sense because while we can say, you know, not every teacher wants to carry a gun, we also know teachers that would like to be able to protect themselves. Instead of the teachers having to just, you know, die for our children or lay their lives in front of their children, I know several teachers. One of our daughter's teachers is a former Marine, and I know that he would much rather be able to protect the kids than throw a stapler at someone's head or just stand in front of them. So that, you know, it's time that it's not just asking our teachers to die for our kids or give their life for our kids. So that's very important as well. What would you say to the person who says, hey, we have SROs, we have, you know, people that are armed that are assigned to our school. What's the reality about how many there are per school? And we all know the sizes of our school are huge. Can you tell us a little bit about why something's needed beyond SROs?
Sure. And that's a great point to bring up, Deborah. We love the school resource officers and other armed security teams that are at our kids' schools. If you are a school that's big enough for a school resource officer or additional private armed uniformed security, you're a big school. And what we saw at Arapahoe High School a few years back, where one precious child, Claire Davis, lost her life, there was a school resource officer there, and he sprinted as fast as he could to get there. Mm-hmm. He was on the other side of the school. These killers, and sadly we know so much about them, these killers want to take as much innocent life with them as possible. So the chances of them starting their crime right in front of a school resource officer or other known armed uniformed security is very slight, unless maybe they choose to ambush that individual and make them the first victim, mm-hmm. so that they can continue with their crime. So we hear from school resource officers all the time who say, this is a big school. I wish I had backup in the form of concealed carry armed staff. The larger schools that have both, I can count on zero of my hands.
Yes.
So the schools that do this, they are, and it makes sense to folks that the early adopters are mostly rural schools, mm-hmm. because they're 30, 45 minutes away from law enforcement, and they know they're their own first responders.
Yes.
And, yeah, so that's, you know, it's not like we have any of the big urban or suburban school districts that have school resource officers and armed staff, but gosh, they're really needed there as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like that phrase. I mean, we love our police officers, but as they say, you know, when seconds count, the police officers are minutes away. I mean, the reality, I remember you shared the statistic, which was very sobering, that I believe it's like during a mass shooting, someone shot every 17 seconds. So even if you are lucky enough to have an SRO in your school, just running to the other side of the school can take a couple of minutes. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, we talked about on that panel that we did that the Crime Prevention Research Policy released a study showing that there was in all the schools. Why don't you share this? In all the schools that had armed staff, what was the statistic?
Sure. And so since I think they started in the year 2000 or 2001, something like that, and looked at all school shootings across the country. And by the way, these are the things that we would think of as school shootings, not, you know, somebody fired a BB gun through a window at midnight of a
right.
school building. These are actual school massacre situations where somebody's trying to harm children and faculty. In that time frame, there is a tiny, tiny increase in the number of these events. And let's be very clear, these are still very low probability events, although they have a very big impact and a very emotional impact on our communities. There's still it's an infinitesimally small chance that your child is going to be involved in that. However, a slight increase in that. except on school campuses that have armed staff, additional armed staff in addition to school resource officers or instead of school resource officers. That trend line is flat at zero.
Wow.
There has never been a school shooting at a school with armed staff. Now, we don't know all of the reasons for everything. Is it a deterrent effect where it's known? Is it that what I find that schools that have armed staff policies, they never want to have to deploy a firearm to protect kids. They never want that to happen at their schools. I find that the schools take every other layer of school security so much more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I go on a lot of school campuses, and I can tell the difference between places where I'm allowed to wander as a stranger wherever I want versus those schools who an adult meets me in the parking lot because I'm a stranger.
Right.
Very different tones between armed and unarmed schools.
Well, whether it's a deterrent or whether, and as we know, as we've said, these perpetrators, these murderers are one to cause maximum damage. So if there is an understanding that there's armed staff, certainly that's a deterrent. And also, we know the numerous cases when someone has been stopped by someone who was carrying. You know, I want to switch gears here because we started the segment talking about Mayor Bloomberg, and who's now a presidential candidate. You know, one of his policies that he said he would run on is banning all guns in K-12 schools, colleges, and universities, except for law enforcement. Now, this goes directly in the face, by the way, of something that very few people talk about, that is after the Parkland school shooting, where 17 were dead, the 15-member commission issued a 446-page report afterwards. One of their number one recommendations was arming school staff. So with your expertise, what do you think of the announcement that Mayor Bloomberg made and his policy that he laid out of further gun control, especially when it comes to schools?
Right. And, you know, you mentioned at the top of the segment that we need to stop the few people who do this. And I think what you're tapping into here is so many policies that look to punish the many, the mm-hmm. innocent, the very, very many, not just the vast majority, but almost all,
mm-hmm.
Instead of figuring out what's happening with the few. And I wrote a blog on this at IWF.org, Independent Women's Forum. I wrote a blog about this, what Michael Bloomberg is proposing, and there's lots of stuff, nationalizing red flag laws, and I wouldn't be surprised if he looked into background checks for ammunition, which a lot of states are now looking at. But he's all over the board, including saying that he would make sure that nobody except law enforcement could carry a firearm, not just on K-12 campuses, but on university campuses. And a college campus carry is very predominant across the country. These are adults, for goodness sakes. These are adults who have the ability to go through the process, the background checks, to get a concealed carry permit,
mm-hmm.
who many times are on have night classes on a dark campus. And, you know, let's not pretend that Virginia Tech never happened and
right.
nobody was there armed to stop that killer.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, and by the way, as you're listening, we want to hear from you. Call into 303-696-1971. Here's my question for you. Are you for arming teachers? You know, you've heard what we've been talking about, but I'd love to know if you don't agree with that, if that concerns you, if that scares you in some way, or you just think it's a wrong idea, give us a call, 303-696-1971, or if you think that there's a solution that we haven't brought up, 303-696-1971. You know, as we continue, Laura, in this last couple of minutes of this segment, so a couple of questions about what's going on right now in Colorado. We know that there has been this safety commission that was going on during the summer where they were coming up with solutions, or supposed to. You've actually spoken in front of that committee, bipartisan. What do you think we're going to see coming our way when the Colorado legislature reconvenes in January?
Yeah, and one of the things to know about that interim school safety commission, and by the way, I was going to speak there, but it didn't end up happening. I'll be generous and say that the chair said that we wouldn't be talking about this policy,
oh,
so
gosh.
I wasn't going to be speaking, and then the other side talked about the policy, but she did apologize in the committee to me by name and the organization name that we should have been able to speak. But anyway, that commission was, or that committee was four Democrats and four Republicans. So there was never going to be anything that came out of that committee that was gun control or rolling back gun control. And they did come up with a few good things, including some great work done by State Senator Paul Lundeen, where he was saying, we are spending all of this money, this state money, duplicating efforts where the I Love You Guys Foundation, for a fraction of that money, is doing more than we're doing at the state for millions of dollars. What is going on here? He brought up some really great points. So there's a few things that came out of that committee that are not really non-controversial. What I think is going to happen this year is we're going to see potentially an enhanced red flag bill like California did, adding to the number of people who can report, even though our red flag bill has not yet been enacted. That'll be January 1. Mm-hmm. I think that we could see a ban on AR-15 style weapons. They are popularly called assault weapons, but I don't assault people with a weapon like that. It would be a defensive weapon, right. As many people choose that as a defensive weapon. We could see a further reduction in magazine capacity. We could see safe storage laws, which, again, safe storage laws would be punishing the many for the sins of the few. So I think we're going to see a lot of gun control. It'll be very interesting to see if those pass the Senate, because we do have some moderately pro-gun Democrats who may not vote for all of those.
Well, it sounds like we need to stay vigilant. And I appreciate your being on the show, Laura Carna, and what you do with Faster Colorado so that we can stay informed. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Well, don't go anywhere. We are going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation. Please call into 303-696-1971. I want to know, what do you think? Should we arm teachers? Shouldn't we? Feel free to call in. This is Deborah Flora with on the Randy Corporan Show on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, welcome back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on this beautiful Saturday morning here, December 7th. It's going to be a great day, almost 50 degrees or maybe more than that today. So good time to be outside. Well, I'm not Randy Corporan, as you know. I'm Deborah Flora. Randy will be with us in the station here in about half an hour. He's doing a special edition of his show from 9 to noon. But thanks for being with us. We have been having a great show today talking about a lot of things that show how important our vote is. The most recent thing we've been talking about is Mayor Bloomberg's announcement right here in Aurora, Colorado, of his ambitious gun control push. And one of the items on his list is banning all guns in K-12 schools, colleges, and universities. Last segment, we had Laura Carno on the show with us. She's with Faster Colorado, and it's an organization that helps to arm school officials, teachers, different people that actually work at the schools. And I asked this question. I asked, do you think it's a good idea to arm teachers? By the way, call in at 303-696-1971. We want to hear from you. And right now we have Barry from Denver. You're on the show now, Randy Corporan Show with Deborah Flora.
Oh, hi, Deborah. And the powers that be are listening. I'd like to nominate you as a permanent host for this segment or the next show.
Well, hey, thank you. I may not be nominated for the presidential race, but I'll take that nomination, Barry. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening.
Well, you do a great job. On the topic, like the prior speaker said, you know, the reduction in schools that have guns to zero, who really knows? There's so many factors, but I mean, it's a move in the right direction. And personally, I'm against teachers being armed, but I do believe that each individual schools, the parents of the students going to each individual school should be able to decide if they want teachers armed and the SROs in the school, and that way, you know, it's their children that are in the school. It would need to be an annual vote by them, because, you know, the the older students graduate and new students come in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a matter of money, they can impose a fee on them to fill the gap. If there's enough money, there's no problem. And
right.
And just one last thing, I'm also in favor of red flag laws because you remember the Aurora Theater shooter. He was a student seeing a psychiatrist in Boulder, and she had concerns. And so that's just one example. And if gun owners who keep citing the Constitution, many of which have probably never read the Constitution, they're just tapping into that because everyone else says that, and all they want to be able to do is keep their gun to go shoot a bird. And if they could give up that relatively minor sport in order to possibly save, you know, even if it's one life, I think that would be a reasonable compromise.
Well, Barry, thanks for calling into the show. One thing I would say that I completely agree with is that the decision should be made locally, not federally. And that's what you're talking about, is local control, which is what it's in Colorado's constitution. It's been abused a lot lately, but the decision should be local. What Bloomberg is proposing is really a federal law that would take away the right of parents in individual school districts. But here's a couple of things, and I'm so glad you called so we can have this conversation. One thing I would say is most gun owners like myself, not most, but many of us do not have it to go shoot birds. I actually had a stalker when I was in Los Angeles, and what I realized was it was my right to defend myself. And the Second Amendment really is not just about defending ourselves from someone who would harm us, but even the right of people to stand up in case they have a government that is trying to take away their rights. We see what happens when that's not available. So I think I would disagree that most people have it to shoot birds. But let me ask you this, you know, Barry, thanks for calling in. You said you are against teachers having guns personally. What would be your solution when the reality is that every 17 seconds in a mass shooting, someone is shot? What would you say would be the solution instead of having armed staff?
I think SROs, more SROs. There's been a study where even trained armed officers, when they're training, and they train with guns on a weekly basis, when they're training, their accuracy rate is between 80% and 90%, and under stress situations, it's reduced to 15%. So if a teacher were to get training, not once a week, but maybe once a year, in a stress situation, if a trained officer is at 15%, we risk them shooting other students. So I guess that would be my solution, is more SROs, which again could be funded, if not by the district, by the parents of the students. And on the, just one last comment on the Constitution and red flag. I mean, let's be real, okay? I mean, do you really think our government is going to come gunning for us ever? I mean, to me, that's just, it's just not reality. It's just, I mean, let's just be real.
And, you know, thank you for that point. I actually do believe that where the red flag law in Colorado especially is egregious to the Constitution is because there's actually no due process there. Unlike other red flag laws in other countries, ours went to the extreme of where the accuser doesn't have to be present. The person whose guns and rights are being taken away does not have a chance to find out what's going on. They're taken away before there's process. So I think it's some good points. I do think the moment we believe that we will never potentially lose our freedom is the time we need to be vigilant, having gone to many other countries. But you know what, Barry, I have two other callers waiting. I so appreciate your calling in. I hope you call in again next time so that we can continue having this conversation. So thank you so much.
Well, hope you're here the next time.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Thanks for calling in. Well, hey, now we want to go to Max. Max, you are on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran with Deborah Flora. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for having me on, because I want to respond to the mad Marxist that you just had on, because what reality does this individual live in? the Democrats have come out flat out and said, we're coming for your ARs.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming for your AKs. They've said it. So what part of that did that moron not understand? Now let's talk about the ERPO. It violates six constitutional rights given to us by our founding fathers. Now, we've got this impeachment garbage going on, and this is what Alexander Hamilton warned us about. But the ERPO is not, you know, the Second Amendment is not for going out and shooting little birdies.
Right.
Okay? It's for when the government states on national television, hell yes, we're coming for your gun.
Yes.
All right? Because part of the Second Amendment talks about being necessary for the security of a free state.
Yes.
Now, it's not the state of Colorado. It's not the state of intoxication. It's the state of mind a normal citizen has knowing that their government is not going to come in and just absolutely go full fascist on them. That's what the Constitution's for. That's what the Second Amendment's for. It's there to protect all of the other amendments. Because without it, the First Amendment, you know, you're not allowed to say that anymore. Well, go ahead and stop me. All right, we're the government. We're going to crush you because we still have our weapons that, and we're going to come and we're going to crush you.
Well,
just like Hitler did, just like Stalin did, just like Pol Pot did, just like Mao Zedong did.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? These crazy Marxist leftists need to crack into their history books and take a good, hard look at what happens when you let the government come in and run your life.
Max,
it leads to the deaths of millions of people.
Yes, you make a really good point. I remember hearing someone say the scariest moment is when the government tells you you don't need weapons to defend yourself. And we see that happening right now. We can look at history. As I said, I've been in the Soviet Union where I saw the palpable lack of freedom and a complete inability to stand up for one's rights because all the power was in the government's hands. We're watching it right now happening in Hong Kong. We've seen one of the freest, most democratic jewels basically in the world where because there are not gun rights, there is no way for these protesters to step back. And I do think that we need to be able to have this conversation with our fellow citizens to say, look, you know, there's a long line of history. The minute that we think freedom is like gravity and it will always be there is the moment that we run the risk of losing it. So I really appreciate that, Max. Hey, I've got a couple other callers on, but thank you so much for calling in, Max, definitely. Well, now we have Paul with Denver. Paul, thanks so much for joining us on the show. On 710 CAN-US, I'm Deborah Flora.
Deborah, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Deborah, I completely agree with the last individual that talked to you. The individual before that, I think he's delusional. The question that I would ask him is, how many police stations, how many sheriff's departments does he know that they had shooters in?
Mm.
And, of course, that answer would be none at all. My point being is that you want to arm these individuals. You want to train them. You want to get them up to date. It's like the atomic bomb when I was a kid. Russia was going to blow up the United States. We at least drilled for that. We're at least aware of some things that we could do. But my point being is that any place where there's a situation where the shooter thinks that he won't get away with the anarchy he creates, he's not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every place that you've had mass shooters, it's been soft targets.
Yes.
So the point being, the more people that are carrying guns and that he's aware of it or she's aware of it, they're not going to make that a target. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is Venezuela, from my understanding, was the government said about 3 or 4 years ago that if we take guns from everybody, we can curb all this violence, and now you see what happened to that country.
Oh, absolutely. Venezuela is another great example. You are so right, Paul. It went from being one of the wealthiest countries in the Western Hemisphere, sitting on all this wealth, and look at what happened with socialism, which what we're really talking about, by the way, is freedom versus force. The minute that the government has all of the power, they can then exert the force. And I agree with you so much about that. And one other thing, that you brought up, I find it so ironic that Mayor Bloomberg announced his policy because it was near the Aurora Theater, when we know, if we look at it, the Aurora shooter passed many different movie theaters closer to his home that were not gun-free and went to a gun-free theater so he could be unopposed. And when my heart broke when I read after that shooting of the military men who had no other option but to lay themselves on top of other victims because they were unarmed in a gun-free zone. So we're heading to a hard break, but Paul, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for having my call.
Absolutely. We're going to continue with this conversation, but I want to let you know News Talk 710 KNUS is the home of the Christmas Mortgage Miracle. Win your mortgage or rent paid for an entire year. Complete details are at 710KNUS.com. The Christmas Mortgage Miracle is brought to you by Genesis Total Exteriors, Colorado's premier contractor for interior or exterior construction and remodeling projects, and by Nova Home Loans, your source for all your future mortgage refinance or purchase needs. So thanks so much for listening, and we will be right back. You are listening to The Randy Corcoran Show. I'm Deborah Flora on 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, welcome back to the show. It's amazing how fast 3 hours can go. We've been having a great conversation here. I'm Deborah Flores, sitting in for Randy Corcoran this morning. He will be in the studio in just a matter of minutes at the top of the hour, doing 3 hours of his own show following this. Hey, by the way, News Talk 710 KNUS is the home of the Christmas Mortgage Miracle. Win your mortgage or rent paid for an entire year. Complete details will be at 710KNUS.com. The Christmas Mortgage Miracle is brought to you by Genesis Total Exteriors, Colorado's premier contractor for interior or exterior construction and remodeling projects. So definitely check that out, 710KNUS.com. Well, we're having a very great, just a lively conversation. The phone lines are lighting up. We've been talking this last hour about, should we arm teachers? I will just say this before I take the callers that are waiting, is that Bloomberg was here. He announced his presidency. His platform is about further gun control and removing them in schools for anyone other than armed officials. This flies in the face, actually, of the recommendation after the Parkland school shooting by the Safety Commission. That 446-page report said that one of their number one recommendations was arming school staff, including teachers. But hey, we've got some callers that want to talk about that. We have Steve from Greeley. Thanks so much for calling in, Steve. I'm Deborah Flora.
Hi, Deborah. I got to first tell you, you're very refreshing, very charming, and very smart.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? I just would like to say thank you, and I think my husband would agree with you. So thank you so much.
Oh, he's a lucky man. The reason I called, okay? And I have a problem with gun control. Mm. We have more guns in this country than we have citizens. They are allowed to carry and keep. Now, if politicians like Bloomberg want to reduce or take our guns away, I want his security team not to carry a gun. Study the martial arts or whatever if you want to be protected. But if we can't protect ourselves, why are politicians, all of them, okay, have security guards that are armed, okay? Suppose the United States needs it just for, you know, national security reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, okay, I have to ask myself, well, here is the basic question. You want to take away Billy Bob's shotgun, but how are you going to collect the guns from the gangbangers and the criminals? You think they're going to go in and register their guns?
Right.
Answer that question for me.
No, it's a great question. And, you know, thanks so much for calling in, Steve. We're going to keep it short because we've got one more caller I want to get to. But you brought up a really great point. Having been in Hollywood for far too many years, I am a Colorado native and glad to be back. We have armed guards for celebrities. We have them at bank tellers. We have them at sporting events. We have them with politicians. As a mom, My kids are just as valuable, and it's time that we see them in that way. And you're right, I'm pretty darn sure that Mayor Bloomberg had an armed guard. I don't know that for a fact. We'll find that out. But the reality is we need to see our kids in the same way, and ourselves. I am a gun carrier because I had a stalker, and I realized it was not fair for me to not be able to protect myself at 5'3", and he was 6'4". Hey, we've got time for one last very quick call. We've got Chris on the line. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, it's Liberal Chris in Littleton. I guess I'm just going to be the naysayer for the hour. I really believe at the end of the day, Christopher Hitchens used to always remark that American democracy, at the end of the day, we always kind of come together on certain key issues and we compromise. Like we compromise with on healthcare, we got Obamacare. When we compromise on immigration, we got the Dream Act. When we do gun control, we don't take away everyone's guns. And I don't think there's enough evidence that it's like death by a thousand cuts. I just think that we come to these impasses and we just regulate certain small factions of divisive issues. And that's how, like, American democracy moves forward. And that's why I support things like Red Flag.
Well, thanks, Chris, for calling in. And thank you for calling yourself Liberal Chris, because this is the show where we can have this conversation. So I really appreciate that. Here's what I would say. Yes, compromise is good, but we have a constitution for a reason. There are certain things we cannot compromise on, or we cannot continue as a free country. The First Amendment. Right now, we're being asked to compromise constantly. We can't say certain things lest it offends someone else. Honestly, a right is only as good as the protection we put around it. There are soldiers I know who say that they will die for someone's right to say something absolutely stupid, because if we don't protect that right, then it doesn't mean anything. Same thing with the Second Amendment. It is there so people can protect themselves. Our founding fathers knew that without this right, we ultimately could lose our freedoms. We have seen it happen. We saw it happen in Venezuela. What's the first thing they do when they want to begin to take away freedoms? They collect the guns. So ultimately, while we can find that common ground, and I do agree with Liberal Chris, I think 80% of the things we can agree on, I think there are some principles that are non-negotiable, and that is why they are codified in the Constitution. I do believe that there was some brilliance behind it all those many years ago. And we need to remember, our founding fathers came from a situation where they had seen force. They had seen their rights trampled upon. We're so far removed from that that I think we believe freedom is like gravity. It will always be there. There is no guarantee. As it says in the National Mall, one of the monuments, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. That is vigilance for our rights. I think that is vigilance in protecting our kids, which, by the way, when we circle back to this subject of school safety, I just want to say one more time, the recommendation after the Parkland shooting was to arm school staff. In schools that have armed staff, there has not been one shooting. So let's talk about it. I'm so glad we can come together on 710 KNUS to have this great conversation. I'm Deborah Flores. It's been a pleasure sitting in today for Randy Corcoran. He's going to be coming back at the top of the hour. Have a great day.